the war in Ukraine. But since there are like a lot of events about Ukraine and also a lot of like discussions about Ukraine, there was a decision made to change the focus on like practical help for our comrades in Ukraine and to make like a brainstorm of how we can support them. And yeah, if people have the need to like discuss like, I don't know, NATO topics or stuff like this, or like more in general, maybe we can also meet like after the event, you can also talk to me and we can discuss it also on a smaller level, because I feel like these big group discussions maybe are not always the right place for this. I would propose to like start some kind of round for people who have been doing some kind of like people in Ukraine support work. And maybe we could go like this to try to go in a round, so it's a bit easier to track who wants to speak. And if people don't want to, they can just skip. Maybe I would just start like what the initial time it was doing. So we were first when the war, the full scale war started. We were at the main train station, meeting refugees and providing like food, water, and change trains and stuff like this. And also in this time, a lot of like discussions started that people found it very difficult to understand why to support comrades in Ukraine, especially comrades who decided to go to military. And since that, my initiative was also the first one to go to Vienna, started to do kind of like informational work, also try to raise money and fundraise parties, but since we are a very small group, it was very difficult for us to do so, and we tried to like find other things we can do, even as a small group, without like a lot of resources. One thing that came up was a Telegram channel, which was called Alerta Alerta Propaganda, and the aim of this channel was to like a campaign from the 1st February to the 24th February, the day of like a 1 year post-war. And there we had like a lot of different articles, most of each day, which showed different perspectives and analysis about this topic. Yeah, also if you have some questions about like discussion, you can also feel free to search this channel and read these articles, because a lot of all these things that we normally have in other discussions, you can find them from there.
Yeah, then
yes, it's on Telegram. It's called Alerta. But I think if you have to find it, you only have to type in one Alerta. Yeah. Okay, so then I would maybe pass on the word.
To like go in a row, and after everyone who wants to speak, we can try to make like a brainstorm what else we can do.
Hello,
I am
from Solidarity Collective in Ukraine,
and I've been doing work for Solidarity.
Sorry, I have a suggestion. Could people stand up when they're talking? It's very hard to hear down here. Because
I'm from Solidarity Collective in Ukraine. And I've been doing work now for since the beginning of the intervention when some of doctors for starting the solidarity and the recovery to start to fight. And basically now I came on this event directly from Kiev, from last Sunday I left. What I can say about our practices, maybe mainly know about what we are doing, what the public project we are doing. From the region, so Russia, Ukraine, all of this. There is them, we're going to do a presentation, discussion on the family side. We with the collective on Saturday. It's at 8 o'clock in the afternoon in the dark. And the first one I say is at 1 Saturday here on the bigger room. So I just need it's something that I've not developed here. I'm not here to show that also very good. So I'm not really here about what the European rules were doing and to say the experience and to listen to them.
Hi, I'm from the Czech Anarchist Federation, and we have been focusing on three main things, I think. One was the humanitarian help in the Czech Republic, which was mostly cooperated with the local group in Prague, which was working on the main railway station, which is the place where all the refugees, not just the Ukrainian ones, have been like dropped off, and they need like some help with logistics and so on. So this was one thing. Also, we have been like talking and showing the situation of the Roma refugees from Ukraine, because as you may know, the Czech state has like towards the Ukrainian citizens. They have like different stance as to citizens of other countries, for example, Syria. So if Ukrainian refugee usually of white color comes to Czech Republic, then they are handled like usually quite well. But this is different for Roma people from Ukraine. So this was one topic we have been talking about and trying to like show their situation and force the state to like change this the current handling of different people. That is one thing. Second thing we have been doing was supporting solidarity collectives, including the people who are like fighting in Ukraine, mostly doing like beneficiary actions, yeah, like events, concerts, and so on, raising money. Also, we have been like collecting the gear. Already, because sometimes in Ukraine it's not possible to buy the necessary gear like helmets and vests and so on. In Czech Republic it is possible, so we have been like buying the gear directly and sending it to Ukraine. And we have been like trying to fight the Russian propaganda because what was formerly, for example, the fascist movement during the refugee crisis, it somehow like transformed into the movement against the refugees from Ukraine, Czech Republic, and so it's important to like react to this and counter them in the streets. So that's the thing we have been doing, and that's what we.
I can't stand up because it's me. I can't stand up. I guess you. I was part of a group in Berlin. I moved, so I didn't know anything from the past. When the war, or just before the war started in Ukraine, the media was talking a lot about it, and so I thought that okay, I'm unemployed. I'll travel there and see what I, from a very superficial view. And the day the war broke out, I was there, and I was one of the first persons to cross the border back to the European Union. And it left a big impact on me, not from a political perspective, but also from a personal perspective. And so I came back to Berlin. I was not active in any bigger group or so, or not even in a smaller group, but I had a very good network of friends, some with anarchist background, some not, and everybody kind of agreed that we should help at some point, and then of course there was the discussion to what point, which I think this ethical view, like do we support buying drones or offensive weapons or defensive weapons, so we knew that we cannot go into this too deep because it might break our consensus, but we agreed on the start we could do, and we did it. And in the beginning we raised a lot of money online, friends, family gave a lot, because the trust was there, because people knew when we go, the stuff arrives. And I think these personal relations matter a lot, and not only anarchists, loads of people have shown it last year. And I think this was the practical approach that why I rediscovered like my anarchist soul or something. That you don't have to discuss things 1 million years. You can just do stuff. And so we went there with some friends. We were there for a couple of months and integrated them in Solidarity Collective and in anarchist Black Cross Galicia and Eastern Poland. And it was very interesting for me that I've never been in contact with Eastern European narratives of anarchists or leftist people to completely, not maybe completely, but definitely sharpen like an historical and practical approach to the societies. And this is what I just want to give as an input. You can go there, you can talk to these people online, but also really. You can visit these places. And I think just do it. If you have doubts, I think it can be kind of eye-opening and helping to understand.
Self-organized the humanitarian convoy to Ukraine, and because it seems like the right thing to do, because they themselves are also nomadic and living on the road, so this approach was the most natural for them. Targeted supplies for comrades that are fighting on the front. In 2 or 3 weeks, they gathered around 3,000 euros. And they were able to get to Ukraine in 3 days, and then they stayed there with Ukrainian comrades so that they could know what they could do further to help further.
Ce qu'on voulait avec ce convoi, c'est aussi relancer une dynamique internationale.
They wanted to be this convoy to be part of like a truly internationalist initiative, so that they could send similar convoys to, for instance, Greece or Sudan or other countries where. And with his group, they're like trying to launch some kind of like self-organized canteen food collective, so that they can gather money and make more convoys like this. And apparently, like parallel to this convoy, people who stayed in France, I guess, but they managed to buy an ambulance, and also send it to Ukraine. And this convoy, it was not only the Anarchist Federation, there were also comrades from the ZAD in Notre-Dame-des-Landes.
Autonomous comrades. Une coordination pour l'information et
and they created some kind of like coordination to send more convoys and for information, further information about French groups.
I'm part of the French CNT, I've read about it, with other unions, we mount the platform called the Central Diet of Australia Popular Solidarity. It was designed to make some information for large audience and making sending money to different collectives in Ukraine.
Я не могу. Barcelona. I was born in Poland, not 10,000 years ago, like very long ago. I speak as individual because when the war started, I think it was in many places, was situations like this in many places in Europe. People which were like born like, so in the ex-Soviet space, very fast. We got certain sense, like of course sensitivity about the topic. But also we found ourselves very alone, even if we were very integrated in the local anarchist things. So, well, in Barcelona, when the war started, from the beginning we started to make like first information events and stuff. In the beginning also with Jitsi, with Solidarity Collectives, with some friends which came from Ukraine, like as refugees. And also friends, anarchists from Crimea, which is tiny lived in Barcelona. And after some months after, it started also a group from like anarchists, anti-fascists and feminists from like ex-Soviet countries called anti-war bloc Catalonia. I don't know, some friend I showed today, but I don't know if she's here. Maybe she didn't come. I can only say that we were like really, of course, really touched by the topic and really enthusiastic, but from the very beginning we got very big problems, less and months even more. I mean, our events was cancelled, was threatened. We were threatened, many of us were threatened personally by, let's say, like I consider them like pro-Russian spectrum, however, if they call themselves communists or whatever. It's mostly connected to the fan group of Donbas. I call it like this because it's mostly like this Stalinist skins from Italy, Banda Bassotti, and their Spanish friends which make the tour in Donbas and they go on with their propaganda. They have not so many people, but their voice is very loud. And the problem is also that in some cases, as we saw in Barcelona, that they make like counter-propaganda against us. They also publish some personal stuff online that they were directly because they are too stupid or too, not too stupid, like let's say too uneducated. They don't speak Russian. They get direct connections with some Z skins in Russia, like this kind of like skins or shit cultural people, which are like now pro-Putin. And also with directly through Donbas authorities, they have this. So we actually encounter in all the territory dominated for the Spanish state is a big problem, but especially in Catalonia and the Basque Country, this all this like Russian propaganda, which actually like as examples, I don't want to speak too much. But I think that it's also important to know, and it's first time like on the European level that we can speak about this. I don't know, it's for example kind of became normal this, like, I don't know, a few months ago in one gasteche in Victoria, in it's like social center, in Euskadi territory, there was a Sony party with like Russian DJs with like Z on their like computer playing patriotic songs, techno and this stuff like pro-Russian. Of course they're too stupid, they don't know Russian, they think it's all communist. It's not, it's also imperial propaganda. These are the problems. Because of this, like we like let's say some of our like money collections was quite boycotted, so we try to do it like more in kind of hidden way or through personal channels. But getting really, of course, like being quite isolated. I don't know, like as a give us an example. For example, on the like not to celebrate but to remind after 1 year of war, like in 22 February, we made like a concentration in Barcelona. Let's say we were not even maybe we were like 70 people, and there was only like two local Catalan people. Some of them are Trotskists. There is this Trotskyist group, actually only one from Catalonia, Juta Internacionalista, that they went a few times to Ukraine, like doing humanitarian stuff. It's actually only people which somehow collaborate, they are simply anti-Bolshevik, but at least they have no numbers. Let's say they read at least Wikipedia, which I cannot say about the rest of our anarchist comrades. And yeah, this is the situation, and I think this now we will try to do like more specific information even, but I think any like donation or money funding, it will be done in more like hidden way because it became a very big problem. Yeah, you have to come.
Hello. Yeah. Hello. My name is Carlos, and I wanted to point out my opinion. I also come as an individual. Regarding the conflict right now in Ukraine, I have my opinion, which is the next. I think there is a big clash happening right now between two very big geopolitical powers, one being Russia.
I was part of little collectives from Toulouse that moved in Ukraine three times and preparing another trip this summer. And we organized as a group of I don't know.
On se pose des questions.
As a debate group about the question of the war in Ukraine and how we can make solidarity there and our ideas of anti-nationalism, feminism and anti-militarian position. And so during a year we meet together, a very little group, and talking about all of this and organizing the trips. Last year, last summer, we spent 1 month in Kyiv and trying to meet the different collectives, like feminist collectives and anti-authoritarian collectives, and other, as well other people who quit the anti-authoritarian collective, and just to understand better the situation in Ukraine. And and there is a I just want to say something before. We had a big question about the weapons and about arming the anti-authoritarian battalions, because this was a point really important in the funds that we can find about drones and all this. And actually, we decide to not take part out of it because we have enough problem in our city with repression, and we don't want to take part of it because, yeah, it's enough for us. So we take care only in took part only in solidarity for food and refugees, and as well we have two friends who are mechanics, and they fix ambulances. And now there is a trip which is gonna start in August, maybe, with a French association, and for the first time we've done like fulfilling all the shitty stuff to ask for materials for hospitals. And so now we're gonna, the plan is to bring materials from second-hand materials for hospitals in Lviv and Kryvyi. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. Merci. There is a cagnotte, comment on dit une cagnotte? Fundraising online for this next trip. And we are looking for a truck, maybe, to go there, just like a solidarity go fast. The team is looking for a truck in around the Alps, because the place of the French association is in the Alps, and we are from Toulouse. Yep.
My German is really bad. My English is really bad, so sorry. And I'm a little bit nervous because I come from a different perspective. I'm organized in anti-militaristic action science 1980, and was in the military, in the German military, and was in a special brigade, like for fighting, and I was anarchist inside, and I fight inside again military. So now we are in German, in Berlin, have a group is anarchistischer Ratschlag. I don't know in English. Thank you. And we discuss a lot the support, but we only support in the moment people who desertieren. But we are not practice. We are solidarity with groups who support. So we make not a different which people desert, if from Ukraine or from Russia. This is important that we both position support. And you stop this talk before, and I don't want to make big, but I think it is important that we discuss, because in my perspective, like a soldier, like my history, I risk a lot. I risk a lot of jail in this fucking army, and I took later, I don't want that you say, hey, you're wonderful, I don't want, but I took a color bomb to the Ministry of Foreign in the Kosovo War. Again, him, yeah, and it was important to say no war, on no war side. So for me, it's important if we don't discuss here, but I really need discuss on a way with you, on an anarchist way, about weapon and military forces and what is our place, because I'm a friend of social revolution. My problem is not a weapon. My problem is to be a part of military and to be a part of a state. So I know we make a lot of discussion, but I think we must find a place where we discuss this more deeper, because I think we are not on the end of this problem. So I want only to tell you this. Thank you. Okay, if you like, yeah, we make a workshop. You see there, you see the placate, and it is in Saturday, really in the morning, 8 o'clock. I don't know if you're ready, but I'm anarchist, so I'm really revolutionary and start early. So thank you.
So I just wanted to say something about like people who want to desert. So there are a lot of groups who support people who desert from like Russia, Ukraine, Chechnya, and stuff like this. But a lot of groups cannot talk about this openly. So a lot of groups do this in secret. And I just wanted this like to drop this. Okay, who wants to be next? Is there someone?
Yeah, can I?
Okay, I'm Vittorian from Italy. Since the start of invasion, we had in different cities some solidarity groups that were organized for the COVID crisis. And when the war started, we looked to the situation of the comrades and of the people in general in Ukraine, and we decided to make a convoy of humanitarian help, and also with the idea of making a contact and try to understand directly which was the situation and looking for comrades. And I think this is a way of acting, a direct way of acting that as anarchists, but in general as comrades, we should practice, because we have seen a lot of people theorizing on the internet, you know, a lot of what someone called Westplaining, while the practice that also we have seen and did in the war in the Balkans was to go there, to go into the war and try to see what we can do. And what people like us, comrades, men, women, trans people, everything, need. And start from that. So we started organizing solidarity convoys with all the difficulties, because of course you need money, you need trucks, you need drivers, but we managed to do some of that. And on the other side, we tried to give voice to the comrades that are speaking there. With the help of a collective, we published a book in Italian that has been published in November, that is translating some of the writings of comrades from feminist, anarchist groups in Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. And also, we made an interview with Solidarity Collective. We knew each other a little bit better. We built trust, and now we are building other projects. For example, there has been a comrade that, with crowdfunding, bought a medical car, went to Ukraine, worked there 3 months. Now he came back. We are organizing another step, you know, another trip, maybe bring more people, bring more equipment. I think also is important to underline was what the Spanish comrade said, that we have not only this material help to work on, and I think it's a process that we should improve with more connection and mutual aid between groups. Now we should strengthen that at the technical level, at the economical level, but human level. But also we need to work more on the cultural side, we did the book, we are working to another book. We were discussing yesterday with some Ukrainian comrades that there is a problem of the information, I mean, on the internet, not just the Russian propaganda that is very hard, is very strong, but also dispersion, you know, of information. So maybe I think will be interesting if from this space in the future some initiative of publishing some books or promoting documentary film, you know, movies and things like that, try to help to spread and to improve our set of information work about what is going on in Ukraine, in Russia, in Belarus, and all this area. So I think we should work on these two sides, information and production, and giving voice, giving space to the voices of the people that live and struggle there, and the technical infrastructure. I think that this technical and mutual aid work is very important. It's not just for them, of course it's for them, but it's for everybody, because it helps us to understand what war is, what war will be, because it's not going to end here, I think. And so will help us to advance in our ability to self-manage the revolution we want. So, I mean, let's take the initiative, let's take things in our hands. That is my call to this meeting. Even if there are contradictions, I know there will be spaces to discuss that. There are a lot of contradictions. I mean, war is not a clean space for human and political dimensions. But I think it's our duty to be there, aside to the comrades, even if there are a few, even if they have contradictions. But I think it's a political and human commitment that we have to support.
Talk about what kind of like Ukraine solidarity work they
do. Hello, I'm from Russia. I'm sorry. yeah, but I need to say sorry, even if it's not my fault. Yeah, first of all, I wanted to say that I feel you very much. I'm living now in Germany, and that's also a complicated discourse there. And I do also speak as an individual, because I'm not really having a group anymore where I'm politically active, because I was a too good integrated migrant and didn't have really much Russian-speaking diaspora around me. That's why I decided to leave the groups I was in as not a safe space. We are active as a band and doing tours, spreading zines about situation in Ukraine, of course, and collecting money for Solidarity Collectives, which is, of course, supporting of the terrorism from the Russian government perspective. And yeah, we also talk a lot about situation in Belarus, because Belarus is always forgotten in this conflict. Yeah, and of course a lot about Russia. Yeah, or kind of the symbiosis, or not how it's called. Yeah, so what I want to say is, of course, I cannot go to with some trucks or something with my Russian passport, which is completely okay to not to enter Ukraine right now. But I think it's very important for those coming from Russia to not to stay focused only on the repressions in Russia and all this like bad, and forget all everything around, but to spread the word, to solidarize with people in Ukraine. I'm really often fucked up that there are often events where people are ready to invite people from Russia and kind of make heroes of those anti-war activists inside of Russia and hoping that people inside Russia will change something without supporting everybody else, or like without supporting people in Ukraine. So yeah, I think this is a bit a mission of people from the, have a Russian citizenship or a region, to use the space to say, hey, it's not okay if you invite only us. You need to invite people from Ukraine. You need to hear this perspective and to show solidarity actively and not only to talk about how it is hard to be in Russian prisons also, which is also important to talk about, but not only. Yeah.
Hey, I'm from a small Western German city, and I have to admit that in end of February last year, I was asking like long-known comrades from Ukraine, like, how can we support? But at the same time, in the beginning, my biggest fear was, okay, how can we support without supporting Ukrainian nationalists? And in this moment, like, the comrades from Ukraine helped me to understand that I was following like the Putin Kreml narrative and that I get into this trap, and that the problem of fascism is much more coming from the Russian side. And yeah, so I think the first step was to have like 10-year long lasting comradeship to Ukraine, which helped in this war. It was one thing I learned. And then when the winter started, the comrades said, what we now really need is like material support, not only money. So we organized with a few people from different groups. And we, in the beginning, we decided, like, we had to make the decision, do we want to trust on our, like, anarchist anti-authoritarian structures to organ, like, to get a whole truck full with warm stuff and stuff that is needed, or will we reach out to the public? And yeah, it was sad, but we decided not to focus on the leftist scene or anti-authoritarian scene to gather what was needed, but to be more practical. And we just collected money, and we asked for warmth for the people in Ukraine. And we found a truck, we found a driver, and it took us a month. But then we had the truck full with 45, not square meters, but cubic meters. And we gathered more than 15,000 euros to buy also like power stations, generators, head torches, and also a lot of equipment, which was needed also by the people that decided to go on the front and find there. So we said, we want to support the people and the comrades from Ukraine, never mind whether they resist on a civil structure or whether they resist on the front line with a weapon, which was a difficult shift to make coming from like anti-militarist background. But we didn't regret it, and when the truck was full, we went to Lviv and we stayed there for one more week to help out the comrades to sort all the stuff through, to send it further to the frontline areas. And yeah, like being in direct contact, talking with people directly affected, also helped us a lot to sharpen our understanding of this war and the current situation. And yeah, I think practical help is needed, and long-lasting comradeship where you learn to trust the analysis of the people that are directly affected and that are on the front line of the oppression was very helpful. And yes. Thank you for helping me to understand what the conflict is about.
Is there anybody else who wants to present something?
Mm-hmm. Okay, just be careful not to...
Thank you. Hi, I'm originally from Belarus, living now in Poland. So I want to say something about what we did when the full invasion started. There was like a lot of groups involved in support, in different types of support. So we were organizing transportation of goods such as humanitarian aid and also equipment for comrades. Also, we were organizing transportation of people in both ways. So we helped people getting out of the country, out of Ukraine, and so also we had helped some people to get in. And like the far you go from the border, the more you see the like these talks about this is like not our war, and so it's such like these talks, yes. And in Poland, in the beginning, the whole society was involved in help. Like there was not only us, like anarchists, that all like everyone was involved in that, and people did a great job to help refugees to buy equipment and humanitarian aid and send it to Ukraine. So it was not only us who were like doing this, a lot of like a huge amount of work. And yeah, from like, so for the first month we sent a lot of cars, a lot of different anarchist collectives were involved in that. So people were gathering a lot of stuff in warehouses. So there are still warehouses. ABC Galicia, for example, they still do this really hard and great job, and they're like burned out and in on the edge, but they like keep doing that. I mean there is no any problem with this, like helping deserters to get away. We support people who don't want to fight. We think that people cannot be forced to fight, but in the same time we are like, the problem is when the people, especially from some safe Western countries, explain those oppressed how they can defend themselves. And this is for us like, so the far you go from the like from the border, the less you understand what it is a war for you, for community, for like individual, because this is for us, this is not a war between Russia and NATO. This is for our lives, for our like perspectives. And if we cannot stop the war with like helping deserters, it's like, it's not the way to stop the war. We can stop the war only with armed force. And so we do whatever we just help our comrades to survive, because for the past year we lost many comrades there, and this is like a huge huge loss for us like individuals, and like for us personally, because we knew that those people, and they were our comrades. And like those talks that we should like let Russia occupy Ukraine, for us it's like I don't know, this is way too to nowhere, and this is I don't know. So for me there was this need to discuss but this discussion is going on for 1.5 years, and it's leading nowhere, because people just don't listen to those who are oppressed by those who are those who are really in the situation, and they are affected by war. Okay, thank you.
Wow, really a lot of people here. Sorry if I will stop in some moment. I didn't use for talk and such kind of rooms for a long time. And my name is Bruno, and it seems, I don't know exactly, but it seems that I'm only one Ukrainian person here. And I want to give feedback for everybody and for all people who helped to collect with Solidarities and all anti-authoritarian collectives for this year and a half. I met a war in Ukraine from the start and gone away from Ukraine in August of last year. I'm that person who was searching stuff from all of you people. Yeah, thank you very much. I wanted to tell that anarchist and leftist movement in Ukraine for last 2 years before war was in a pretty bad state of mind. Not a lot of people was trying to organize something, and a lot of organizations was closed, and a lot of collectives stopped to do anything, especially in Kyiv. And support of comrades in Europe on start of war, and not only from Europe, from all over the world, helped to, in some case, make everything from a start. So collective solidarity, which as a lot of people remember, was Operation Solidarity from a start. It was like mix of people who haven't, like who didn't talk with each other for years, like who had long personal conflicts, who have long political conflicts, who have had like really big struggle to talk with each other. And all these people closed in a basement in the center of Kyiv and started to work. And it, like, to saw it in the start of war, it was really empowering. This stuff helped to a lot of people. Everything that you did and are continuing to making, it's really, really big stuff. Sometimes people there, like at first time, I cannot tell how it's now, but at first few months, people didn't have possibility to manage with all amount of help which was coming. And yeah, I want to encourage you to continue to donate, even if you cannot organize your own help, your own trip. You always can just be subscribed on Collective Solidarities and on Resistance Committee in Telegram and just donate money, because yeah, like of course you can help in start of war, in middle of war, but war is very expensive stuff. It's like a situation which really a lot of people are getting on, and also very common position in European society that it's just like Ukraine is just a trash can for European money. It's not true. It's like war is really expensive stuff. Even like from perspective of Resistance Committee and all squad which was getting on a war and start, like I don't remember how many money was spent on there, but it was like amount of salary, like more than 100 of salaries of usual Ukrainian person. What else I want to tell? I really would ask, even on panel discussions, even if you have some questions about geopolitical stuff and that it's war about two big empires, not really like pay attention to, like to big time attention to this topic, because like it's just, this opinion doesn't have concrete facts. Like you don't have numbers, people who are talking about this. Like Ukraine getting military support in 13 times less than South Korea in time of war there in 60s, in three times less than Kuwait from United States in time of war with Iraq. Like this amount of if you will just see numbers which are connected with help to Ukraine, even with military help, even with weapon help to Ukraine, you will see that you cannot tell that it's like American army already going there and trying to fight with Russia. It doesn't work like this. Also, if you will read Ukrainian news or you'll try to read from Ukrainian media perspective, you will see that almost a half of stuff which promised to Ukraine in topic of weapon not going to Ukraine. So a lot of Western states making statements about that we will give a lot of weapon, like, I don't know, 10 tanks and giving 5 tanks in end of a day. Also, a lot of countries who are telling that we gave all weapons that we have in warehouse, they're giving really old weapon which not really working anymore. And in start of war, a lot of people had really big problems, and a lot of lives also disappear because of help which came just to be there and to be just in media messages. Yeah, and thank you all for being here.
Keep it short. I'll try to. Hi, I'm from Switzerland. And what has been stressed before, but I wanted to stress it again, is the Italian comrade, I think it was, who said that there are two ways to do like practical mutual aid, to send convoys, which I'm very happy to hear that a lot of people across Europe do it, because I was very frustrated with the lack of this practical help in Switzerland. So I will speak as an individual. I work for a left-wing newspaper in Switzerland as a journalist. So I have been focusing on the second part, the information part, very much. And I had the luck that I had long ties to Ukrainians, some Ukrainian comrades and also comrades in Russia, also before the full-scale invasion, which I could profit from. So I went to Ukraine, I tried to cover the war. I also mostly try to make those voices of the comrades in Ukraine heard for a Swiss or German-speaking audience, because what I found very frustrating also in the last 1.5 years was that those debates that were touched upon here also about the inter-imperialist war and all this bullshit, from my opinion, the bullshit, that the voices of the people affected mostly lack in these discussions, at least for Switzerland and Germany. I can say that comrades discussed that, but not asking what comrades there think. So yeah, just wanted to say that whoever has like the luck to be able to do this translation work, also in terms of language knowledge and translation work, not in a like language sense, but in a the book that has been published, or I don't know. I think that's also a very important thing, to make those voices heard, to also make comrades here understand better. And yeah, it's a very simple thing, but I think a very important one. Wochenzeitung. Die Wots Wochenzeitung.
Certain people that are really lacking in the discussion we have in Europe about this. I wanted to add the thing that also the war that Russia is making against Ukraine is also still touching also the Syrian people, and I forgot about them. And I think one way also to speak about and to make understand the logic of the Russian side in the war in Ukraine is to continue to organize like events where we try to cross the experiences of the Syrian people and the Ukrainian people, because we had never meetings like this for Syrian people, and the Russian army is fucking occupying this country also, and they have an experience, and they were the first, also when the Ukrainian war began, they were the first to send messages from some places that are still bound by the Russian army in Syria, and they were the first to express solidarity with the Ukrainian people. So I think there is a big work to do also in the way we present the things, even if we have not all the information, we have the possibility, we have Syrian friends, we have Ukrainian friends if we search better, and at least people from the east, let's say from Belarus, and we can like organize events to cross with things. I think it's very important, because the solidarity we provide to the Ukrainian people is also the same way we provide when we send solidarity to the Ukrainian people, we send solidarity to the Syrian people who is still suffering from this. I just wanted to mention it. It's not really to open a discussion, it's just put this so we don't forget about the Syrian comrades and friends and people.
Thank you.
who talked about their work. Is there anyone?
Otherwise, I will make like a summary of things that we can do to support, and then we can open it up for more ideas. Okay. Can you maybe come here because the microphone cable is not so long?
Hi, I'm also from Russia. I'm an anti-war and feminist activist, and I had to flee the country a year ago because of political repressions against me. I had three administrative cases against me for feminist activism and one terrorism criminal case against me for anti-war activism. And I really support the comrades who mentioned that such discussions had to be with more involvement and invitations for people who are directly affected by the war and by the military actions. But I have to say that it is important for the leftist anarchist community to actually not to ignore the narratives from the left, which are aligned with Russian propaganda. I think it's important to go to these spaces and, you know, make a dialogue and call out people who are using patriarchal imperialistic language while speaking about Ukraine. And I think it's very triggering for both Ukrainian and Russian people to be in these spaces and hearing this NATO vs. Russia thing, because we have been hearing for a long time. And this kind of narrative, it completely, I think, patriarchal in my point of view and very imperialistic in itself, because it erases the experience of those people in Ukraine and in Russia affected by imperialistic politics of Kremlin. And I think we have to call this out. And the second thing, I think, okay, there are some people who they're talking about demilitarization worldwide, and they are against arming the Ukraine. But I think we can call out those people trying to switch the focus of their attention. Because often European people, when they say, we don't want to support Ukraine with weapons because we are anti-militaristic, those same people, they ignore the fact that a lot of countries in Europe still buy fossil fuels from Russia. And what about demilitarization of Russia? Because Putin uses this money from fossil fuels. I mean, I'm personally living in Austria now, and I'm like paying for gas to Putin's pockets. And this money he uses to finance his war, to buy weapons from Iran, for example. And I mean, but this fossil fuel subject often is ignored. So I think we have to switch the narratives and like raise uncomfortable questions to our comrades in Europe. Most of those were not ever affected by the hot military actions in their life. So I think this is important. And the last thing, but not the least, I think there is a lot of people living in Europe who are beneficiaries of Putin's regime. Wealthy people, those people are not affected by sanctions at all because they have property in Switzerland, in Austria, in UK, in US, everywhere. Those people, they don't have troubles from visa bans because they already have residency permits, and their children are studying in the best schools in New York, in Paris, in London, and they're living their best life and they're profiting from the war. Recently, there was a situation in Riga where a person who is profiting from selling rockets, military weapons, a Russian person. He is walking freely in Riga. He has a super luxury apartment there. And there was a Russian activist who started protesting with a single picket near the apartment. And this person was super free to attack this Russian activist. And nothing happened to him. And then the president of Latvia said, oh, the same president who was saying we have to be very suspicious about Russians coming to Latvia, he said, oh, with this person, you know, it's not that easy. We can't just kick him out of the country because it's not, like, there's so many controversial stuff going on and we have to call it out. And I think, I don't know, there are some anarchists who were trying to squat the property of these wealthy Russian people. Maybe we have to gather the map of all the property of Russian people, all the beneficiary, like the wealthy people, the upper class people who are connected to all these companies, to the governmental structures, and also their children who are studying sometimes among us. I'm not saying that children are responsible for their parents' actions, but I think if you are a person who are planning to live your life in democratic countries and you are living your best life, you have to, I know, somehow to make a statement. And maybe if children make statements against the war, against the regime, against their parents, something will change, because all these beneficiaries, they are loyal to Putin. And we have to shift that. We have to weaken Putin's regime as much as possible and targeting its beneficiaries and their children maybe, and calling them out if we are in the same educational or workspaces with them. I think this could be another angle of how, very practical, of how we can confront it. Because I think 90% of the discussions that I've been attending for last year and a half were just like water and very philosophical, general discussions with a very huge lack of practical direct action that can be done right now. Thank you.
Yeah, I speak also as a individual, also as a part of a band, but I have to say I come from Western Germany and half French also, so I have also these two parts in me of my grandpa in France fighting against the Germans, together also with from Spanish anarchists coming to Paris to fight with the inside of the official army of France against Hitler. And so this is one part maybe which make me always attentive on nationalism and so on. And I have to say I was really also trapped in this, now I would say, propagandistic thing of Russia, where I think I took very mainstream things, which were in the left and anarchist movement. And we played thousands of solidarity concerts for Itzadelen, for whatever weapons for Rojava. We made a tour for weapons for Rojava and things like that with national flags of Rojava. And so weapons was not the topic at this point. Nobody was questioning it. So I was really surprised how much suddenly, or in Western Germany mostly, the people are now doing like, we are peacemaking, we have to look at the weapons and so, and the amount of weapons and so. Like you said, the amount of weapons which is a feature to Ukraine is not so much. But anyway, what I wanted to say, because it's of practical things, is one thing: we raise money for solidarity collectives. But the other thing is, which is fucking super important, is that many of friends, colleagues, and so on, to go in the fight with them, or not fight, but to talk in a positive way, maybe. Because not everybody knows so much, because nobody has so much information or don't trust it. And many people were looking for some years Russia Today, RT, because they were making some nice propagandic thing which anarchists and leftists want to hear about Köpi, about squatted houses, and so they fed the leftists with everything they want to hear. So they did good work, and we have maybe to learn from the Kurdish movement also. So we have to make a contra-propaganda. And so we started also to make some translations and so, to put it on the table that the people can look and read. But it's a hard way, and we can't play in some centers and so anymore, because we are now supporters of weapons or whatever, because we support solidarity collectives. The people don't want to play with us anymore because they say, yeah, you support solidarity collectives, which is also raising money for weapons. And but I think, yeah, everybody, I really make a call to make this propaganda, or to try to talk with the people, and because they avoid also to talk with you, and it's crazy. I mean, it's like really after 15 years to play with one band, and suddenly the people don't talk with you anymore because they are solidarity collective things on your table. And so the one thing is the practical thing, raising money and so on. But the other thing is really important, I think, in all Western German or France and so on, it's so fucking important to make this contra-propaganda, or to really talk with the people. It's really needed so much.
Maybe a short question. Is it like from YouTube? Because is it like a? Do you want to discuss, or do you want to present some work? Because it's only like the space for presenting what you do. You both, yeah.
Because I have a critical position, but I have a position what we have to do.
Okay, then is it okay if I give a short summary, and then we can do proposal of what we said, and then we do proposals of what else we can do to like support people in Ukraine. Is it okay for you? Entschuldige. Wäre es okay für dich, wenn ich eine kurze Zusammenfassung mache von den Sachen, die Leute grundsätzlich machen, dauert maximal 5 Minuten, und danach würde ich den Raum öffnen für Vorschläge, wie man noch Leute in der Ukraine oder die aus der Ukraine fliehen halt unterstützen kann.
Kannst du dann gerne einen Vorschlag?
Ja, genau. Okay, ich fasse mich kurz. Okay. is it a proposal? What not a proposal, but telling what you do for like support work?
Hello. I may not look like it, but I'm an Ukrainian person. It is because my father is from Nicaragua. That's the way I look. So this topic is a very emotional one for me. So, because last year when it all started, I lost a lot of family members, close ones. I was born in Kiev, but my family is from Donbas region. And so in the beginning we tried to get some of my family members out and some of my friends, but it was very hard because we lost contact to a lot of them. And I was sitting a lot in front of the computer with calling people and just mapping all the territories. Where is it safe to get them out and where is it not? And it was very mentally draining for me because I was on the phone and I knew that my friends or my family members were on the other side, and they were telling me how their cars were like exploding, and some of them, like, I never heard from them ever before, after. And my mother had to give up her job and to support, like, full the Ukrainian people, like, when they're coming to Germany, doing all the translation work, integrate them in German society, get them jobs and stuff like that, because she felt this responsibility towards our people, I would say. And Sorry. So my brother was living all his life in Ukraine, and we got him out last year, and he fell into a very big depression because he lost two of his very close friends on the front. And this year he went back, he left us a letter because he was too afraid that if he would tell us that if he's going back, that we wouldn't gonna stop him. But he said that he wants to go back and do something because he feels so bad sitting in safety in Germany and not doing anything. So I understand all the anti-war perspectives, but if you are in a very safe position and you have not lost anyone in this conflict or in war in general, it's a very safe position, I would say. And I'm very grateful for the Belarusian people, all the Russian people that are here to support us and work with us. And I think it's a very important that we work together on this topic. And I think, yeah, that's it's a very hard topic. And yes, but I, all in all, I have to say that I had to stop with all the solidarity work. I was doing a lot, but I had to stop because it was very mentally draining for me, especially after my brother left. But thank you very much for all the people in this room listening to this topic and also working together.
Okay, anybody else want to say something?
Just thanks a lot for you for your work.
Yeah, thank you. Wait. Thank you for all the presentations of telling us very personal stories and also what you did. I would maybe do a quick summary just about the topics that people can do to support people in Ukraine. And then we can open up the space for people like proposing other things they maybe wish for or that they want to happen and stuff like this. So we were talking like a lot of people or groups said a big thing was like raising money. They did like soli parties or sold stuff to raise money. And this money mostly went into like organizing transport, organizing like humanitarian help or also like stuff to bring to people who are in the army. The second thing was also to like raise awareness about this topic, to have a debate kind of inside the own collective, but also like outside on like a personal level or also on a more political level. And also it was very important to give voice to people from Syria, from Ukraine, from Russia and Belarus especially, because they are like most affected. Also, there were other projects then there was also the question what to do with people who spread Russian propaganda and also like fascists who attack events or people who don't agree and like attack events. The question is also what to do with demonstrations which are like pro-Russian. This is like a personal addition for me. Then people also had projects to like go to Ukraine and for example repair cars or also to learn about the situation there, to learn about like cultural stuff, to publish things. And also there are the things to like also support resistance in Russia and Belarus and to squat properties of rich Russian people and also to try to change opinions inside of their family, maybe with their kids if they are studying with somebody or something like this. And Yeah, I would also like to invite all the people who presented their work maybe to share a contact afterwards. Maybe I will leave like a pen and paper on this table, and then everybody can write their contact, because there's also an idea to kind of make some kind of like email newsletter maybe, and to improve the connection between people who want to support people in Ukraine, and also people who are not doing this yet but would like to, they can also leave their contact. And yeah, with that, I would open the space for like proposals or wishes, what else can be done to support people in Ukraine, or like also not only in Ukraine, but also like Russian and Belarusian resistance, also people in Syria, and yeah. Okay, maybe we can go again like this.
It's just an observation that comes from what people here have been speaking about, what people here have been saying, but it seems like it's a practical thing, but solidarity is also, like, it has an emotional side, and war is a very difficult time, it's very draining, it's really hard to mobilize people in Western Europe, because the media narrative is very violent and very present, and most people I know are like, yeah, Ukraine, yeah, very important, but, you know, I stopped following because it's so hard. And I mean, whether you like it or not, if it's part, like, it's part of the landscape, like emotional landscape around the war. I've heard that in some cities they organize group talks or volunteering psychiatrists who are willing to listen to Ukrainian refugees and help them. I think we should not ignore this aspect of the struggle, like reconstructing our forces in order to last long. Even we don't want the war to last long, but it's starting to be a very long war. It was supposed to be this like very short war. It's not. And in Ukraine, in like within the diaspora, even like it's very needed, I think. But I have, like, it's not like I have a very precise idea, just observation.
I wanted to say something similar. When we came in Ukraine last year, we came with this topic of burning out in collectives. And we tried to organize discussions, and we failed. But a lot of people were interested in. And we wanted to share some, we prepared some questionnaire and things like this, but I think this moment, actually, most of the people we met were burning out, and because of the war, because of investing a lot of time in the volunteering. And we felt like... it was quite hard to take time to talk about how the collectives are running and doing stuff. And if something I can say about the collectives I've met, it's this is the how the war is destroying as well collectives. By this, you are always on the run, and the collectives, from what I saw when I came there, don't take so much time to just breathe and think about how we organize and do stuff to not burning out. And this is my wish for the collectives in Ukraine.
Maybe I want to answer to this, that for sure after the summer, like, we passed over the burnout, and now we know how to live inside the burnout the best we can, and we have new people who have came now since the last 3 months, also like in the collective, so this has been helping on the amount of work, because now the talk was about like in Ukraine, but for sure, I mean, because you said about the collectives, but I mean, sure, people have also like help with psychiatrists and this, like all this is set since the summer, and we take care of that as well. And I wanted to share a little bit also something about proposals, like of it's something that I've been trying to share in some events, maybe online, about things that could be done. That is also, that is not only about, because for sure, like we need and we will need help. It's going to be for years. Like this is very clear from Ukrainian side. Let's say 10 years, 20 years, I don't know, before the different, let's say, political goals of what can happen. But even the war might be for 3 years plus 4 years. It's somehow a consensus in the ID. 3 years in the sense of like going back to frontiers of 91 and then keeping them for maybe 4 years or 5 years with Russia not stopping. So also as collective, we prepare for the long term. So also I would suggest to think on the long term, on because you talk about exhaustion and about problems, and for sure to get in touch, even if it's cross countries. I guess this event is perfect for this kind of things. But we are now like imagining on a year. But knowing that, I mean, the one who stayed in the, I mean, we are now about 2020, a bit more. We said we will be until the end of the war, so we don't know. When we say this, we were like, yes, but then maybe it means 10 years, so let's see. But anyway, but the other practical things that I'm trying to say is also like what means preparations in movements, even in Europe, about what is war. Just to have the capacity to react, which means also like maybe having collective ways to like train for like medical emergency stuff, how to use like IFAX and stuff that you might need if it's an attack that is over the level of violence that you're used to, and anything that is also related to war. That there is many things that completely legally many people do, and you can learn also about what it means exactly. Warfare is, in a sense, for you a way to learn about anti-militarism. I believe that that if you know how to use violence, you know how to use it in a better way than if you don't know. Also, so. Yeah, this I would say, like, if the groups who are here and are interested, like, to also talk about this, like the different gear, like, I mean, we have an experience of, like, many gears that many people had no idea about 1 year and a half ago, like many people also had, but still we learn and we can share about this, and this is one thing that we can, like, that could be an activity also, like, to make it not only about draining yourself, but learning also and, like, preparing for whatever you might encounter in your life, willingly or not. Yes.
I just wanted to add that thank you for organizing this space, because I think it's kind of empowering. It's also very emotional, and a lot of stuff comes back from last year, and seeing familiar faces and happy that they are alive, and knowing that some people we met are not anymore, and yeah, just give space to that and not always get run over by this NATO discussion, which is really nice to have, and let's get it done. Dialectic confrontation is fine, but we also have to reclaim spaces for our stuff and not always get overrun by other things. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. I felt I would like to propose some other moment maybe in these days so that we can actually go deeper, because when I came to the room, I thought we were going to talk about what's going on in Ukraine. This is what I wanted to know. For me, this is like a super good place with a lot of critical people, also from Ukraine or that have been in Ukraine. It would be great to count with the opinions of all these people, and I really would love to listen to them in order for me to have a clearer perspective of what's going on. So yeah, as it's been said, it would be great to, according to me, to have some other moment. It's been said Saturday in the morning, maybe. Is it, you said 8 a.m., you said? Is it like feasible? Where? Saf? Okay, Saf. All right. Yeah, we have to do some number of some room or something. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to happen. Yeah, well, like, Saturday, 8 a.m. in the Saf. Okay. Oh, great. Maybe they explain it there.
I can repeat the two other discussions are on Saturday.
Maybe you know.
That is being organized with other collectives that we are near, or
we will maybe meet participants also in the one that is on Saturday from 1 to 4 in this place, but in the bigger room. Is going to be from the different Black Cross network discussion also about the war. So there is going to be the possibility to discuss like different, and also having people from the different countries, let's say, involved. And then Saturday also, the 22 still, at 8 o'clock, we're going to do presentation discussion of solidarity collectives and voices like talking from the Ukrainian side at 8 o'clock until 10. We can go until 11 in the ZAF, so it's number 15 on the map. So those are the two that I would suggest to attend.
Yes.
Yes. But one is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and the other one at 8 in the afternoon.
20 seconds. Yes. I say thank you for a lot of personal comments of life, so it's important to know. And what I want to say, for me is important, I can cry also for other reasons. For me it's really different to use weapon. I learn to kill, I don't want to kill. And if it's necessary, I kill. But the important is for me if it's a social revolution or the war. This is a really big difference. And I think we have to discuss the meaning of social revolution and what in the end we have, a free situation, or we have a military state, a militarization state. So sammeln, solve. To collect money for weapon, for me, is difficult in every situation, also for Ukraine or for Kurdistan, because we share, collect money in the past for Nicaragua and El Salvador. And we share a lot. We take a lot of money. We was really crazy to find money. Yeah. And now we see what happened with Nicaragua. Yeah, we have a national state with a really bad person was a leader and was one of the guerrilla. So military happen with the psychology. We have to discuss about patriarchate, how it works together with war. So my way is to say that we must looking for to destroy weapon fabrics. Yeah, because German, for example, is the fourth biggest producer of weapon. So every weapon make pain. On which side is this the same problem? So this is one discussion I think it's important to think about, if we can make in a way solidarity with anti-war, that we say, okay, how we can destroy the weapons. Yeah? Aber es war ein Vorschlag sozusagen, eher gegen die Produktion von Waffen vorzugehen.
Simo, senza, without crying, without respect.
You have to respect the space. Just respect the space. Comrades, don't cry. Comrades have said, please respect the space, the topic of the space. Just that. We have a full of spaces to discuss the topic.
Can you give it to her, this person? Yes. She's from Ukraine.
Yes, but no, don't cry. E non gridare, non gridare.
Yeah, I'm also from Ukraine, and I would say that I think it's difficult to find someone who will hate German arm production than me, because with this production we were killed in, like, my grandpas were killed in 40s. My grandma was a slave on the factory in Selam Alessa, which was also in Germany, as an Ostarbeiter. Now, since beginning of war, Germany and France and other countries kept selling armed Russia, and now we are back killed with German things. Recently, it was a drone in Odessa. It was Shahed drone, but the engine was made in Ireland. Because this company is still avoiding sanctions and they're still selling via other countries armed to Russia. So I'm really curious why this discussion is always only about giving to Ukraine. Did you discuss that much all these years during the war, when Russia bombed people in Syria, when Russia bombed people in Ukraine, when Russia bombed people in Georgia, also before, when Russia bombed people in Chechnya? The list is really big. I want to stop it, for sure, and for sure hate these companies. But I don't understand why people use this argument to support something which is killing my friends and relatives now. That's one question. Another question, it is war, and we are trying to bring us closer to revolution. I don't think that we should sit and wait when social revolution will come from heaven. That will not happen. Also a good question. No, not Russia only. If you have an answer, we can make the separate event on this. Can I finish? Like, with trying to bring this social revolution, I lost one of the closest friends recently on the front line. He was from Russia, and he fought it for Ukraine, because he believed in the social revolution. Maybe I even regret it now a bit. Because we see the only possible way to have any kind of movement in that region as the collapse of Putinist regime. My friends are in jails in Belarus, in the Russia. I want to see them, not in 20 years. The only way to have it is the collapse of Putinist regime. Rockets are coming all the time. When I was last time in Kyiv, it was 2 nights without bombing during 3 weeks, when we were supposed to greet my friend. I want them to stop coming, because if we will be not protected, if we didn't have this Patriot system and this all bad arm from Europe, my house will not exist anymore together with my friends and neighbors. So what should we do? I mean, without this Patriot, sound is actually awful when it works, but rocket is not coming, only pieces, so it's very nice. And that night was calm, and we are kind of happy in the morning. So I want people to be survived. I mean, it's not, yeah, I mean, it, and it's also that it was about burnt out. I mean, we all are burnt out. I mean, we never expected. We are not some special people prepared for war from whatever. I know, I was prepared only from my grandma's stories. But I didn't expect that people who will come will speak also the same language, like really. So for me, it's like we are already fighting crazy evil shit. And I'm tired that on the same time we need also fight stupidity in Europe. Sorry.
Okay, so about the solutions we could bring today, I wasn't aware of the need of counter-propaganda so far. So thanks to our comrades, I think it's a very important thing just to gain time. For example, I didn't talk today that our platform were financing the help for prisoners in Belarus and Russia. That's the same platform helping Ukrainian and comrades in Russia and Belarus. The same thing, and it's the same campaign. Donc, so there is no need to confront the two aspects. And on the thing about the finance, there is also some, of course, military complex organization in France sending stuff to Russia. And there is some big corporations that are not military giving a lot of funds from France to the Russian regimes, giving foods, giving supplies to the Russian volunteers. For the moment, there is no coordination to strike them back. There is a lot of way to do so, but we need some coordination. So I think the main thing is to have these platforms, to have the communications that could coordinate that kind of strike, and of course making propaganda against about what we are doing, what is running about in Ukrainian, but in other imperialistic imperialist situation because of Russia. We talk about Syria, we talk about Belarus, there is also Georgia, there's a lot of place with the same problem, with the same issue, and I think we could bring the same solutions.
Okay, we only have 5 minutes left. Oh, sorry. We only have 5 minutes left, and I want to remind that here is the contact list, and also that the people from Toulouse, from Autobus, they are searching for a truck for this summer to do a transport. Maybe everybody can like ask around, or maybe also write this email down in case they find a truck and can borrow it. And please write your contacts down if anybody wants to say anything else. I don't know, maybe we can, either you can say it here in 5 minutes or we can talk afterwards.
Yeah, I think about the practical help, I think there is a lot of things. I mean, a lot of things was mentioned. I mean, there is maybe not more time. Anyway, we will discuss like in private with some people. On the level of propaganda, it's necessary. It will be every time more necessary because on the global, on the global level, there is also raising all this issue of multipolarity, which is basically the discourse as much of Putin, as much of Modi and India, and other global leaders of so-called non-West. This is very important because this on one hand it is discourse which is really appealing to this kind of authoritarian left, communist parties, and so on, and also pop left, pop left, like all these people which read something and they don't fascists, supposedly. This is really, really important to contra-oppose it. And also, I was getting crazy with this, that I think, okay, like, let's say anarchists have always, like, certain contradictions, especially with patriarchy, like, historically. And, but the thing, like, the typical leftist thing, which is, like, to support some places where you never was, you don't know body, you don't speak language, but to support so much, I mean, this idiocy, also now it's touching anarchist movement. Because I saw, like, we are, like, in 1.5 years of the war, and, like, even speaking with some friends from different countries, they didn't reach to read, like I don't know, to voices from Ukraine, from Belarus, from Russia, like, on the level, like, they didn't even look for this. They didn't even look. And this is the issue, and we should support this. We should support also the question of the narrative, the question of, like, that also, like, the war in Ukraine, it's a part of ugly, very ugly, but as every process of decolonization is very ugly, and it will last. It is traumatizing. It happens in many countries. It happened in Kazakhstan. I don't know how many people know that, like, 1 month before the full-time aggression on Ukraine, there was a big revolt in Kazakhstan, totally repressed, Russian... how you call it, the riot cops, and the army came with the planes to Kazakhstan to kill and arrest people. These things happen in all the post-Soviet spaces, and we should search for these voices. We should search for the, like, I don't understand how, like, the anarchist movement, which was always, like, solidarizing with people, with resistance from below, with some small groups. Now there is so full, like, of geopolitical experts.
I want to add to the Finnish little thing. As I said, we had a bit of contact with people from Ukraine and Belarus having presentation discussions. So it was in our mind too, what means that the war on anarchist perspectives in general or in local places, what it means to the humans, what does the war to them in a longer perspective, what makes all the weapons in the country. Yeah, for us, these were like important questions. We came quick a bit to a limit, which is understandable. It can be interesting to, in a longer perspective, that such questions can be discussed with respecting the individual destinies of the people.
I'm Mikhail from Russia. By way of practical cooperation, I see there's an obvious need for countering the Putin propaganda. Of course, in some places like France, there were studies about the Putin networks that were in effect since the time of Maidan or even before. But I would be glad to join the contact list, because obviously if there are some groups in Spain or in other places which use some Z-Russian musicians or some Stalinists or monarchists or imperialists from Russia as symbols or sources of information, it is important to counter this by providing exact information about these people. And there are studies in Russia made by groups which are now declared unwanted, but there are studies of the extreme right in Russia, and also it is possible to find information about Stalinists and nationalists of different sorts. So we'll be glad to share this information with the comrades who need this for their purposes here.
A Okay, so the contact list is here. Feel free to write your name down. We maybe make a pad to exchange all the contacts also in between. And yeah, thank you everyone for joining the discussion and also for creating a space where also like we had, or like for a topic or to address the war in Ukraine in a different way as it happens like usually.